good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. I know so many are traveling today. We've even got some that are going to be part of this service moving, and some part of second service and having to leave early for family reunions and everything else. I've got my family reunion this weekend, and I got a chance to spend some time with some of my relatives from Dallas and all over, and it's been a wonderful time, and I hope that you that are traveling today and those that are traveling not with us today are being safe. I hope that with all of my heart. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me, let's go to the book of Acts. And you may just want to keep up with this on the board today. We're going to move through several scriptures because I need to paint the next picture in this, on this series and this study that we're doing on the Holy Spirit. Last week I began the process about asking you, do you remember or do you know the moment that you died and died to the Spirit or allowed the Spirit to take full reign and control? For most of us, that is always just going to continually be a struggle until we reach that point to where we realize I need something more than just simply knowing that I'm saved. I need to move beyond just the basics of salvation, and I need to move into a spiritual walk with God. And that spiritual walk is what we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's we're not ashamed of it. We're very proud of the fact that I can live the way I live today because of the power of God that is within me. I don't live this way because I try hard. I don't live this way because I just stay on my knees and just keep wearing my knees out trying to do good for God. I live this way because there is a power from God. And that power from God allows me to do what I cannot do within myself. Look at the person beside you. Can you, and look at them and tell them, can you live outside yourself? That's really what living in the baptism, that's what living in the Holy Spirit's all about. It's not about some funny talking. It's not about anything of that nature. It is about walking with a power that you were able to do and to be what you could not ever be on your own. And that is the beauty of it. In fact, we talked last week that that's the fear that we have in these last days, is that in these last moments, as Paul told Timothy, we are going to reach a time to where people will have a form of godliness. They'll go to church. They'll do all the same stuff. They'll sing songs like we're singing today. They're going to have a great form, but deny the power thereof. And the power literally is the transforming power, or it is the changing of this world power. And I've never seen a time when we try more gimmicks or we try more different things or we try more lights or sound or anything else we can come up with for the simple purpose and the simple trial of trying to manipulate or to try to convince somebody that there is a real Jesus and there is a real God, and to try to convince them they really need to go to church. And we almost hope sometimes that something bad happens to them so that we kind of have an opportunity to say, I told you, you need to go to church and you need to get your life right. And at that moment, what do they normally say? You're right. I need to get right. I need to go. And we use these moments, but that is not God's system. Now, I want to teach today on this simple understanding, is that I want to teach His work in Christ. The Holy Spirit's work in Christ. Now, I told you I was going to deal with Jesus today, and then I'm going to deal with a person, your own individual self, next week. And then I'm going to deal with the church in general, the last. The Holy Spirit engulfs all of these areas. He engulfs all parts of our lives. Now, going with me to Acts, the 10th chapter, and verse 38. Acts 10, verse 38. I'll use this as the backdrop to what I say today. Notice what it says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the what? Now, in our teaching, in our way of thinking, we don't even think about Jesus having to be baptized or anointed in the Holy Spirit. We just know that He was born and He was the Son of God. And He had all the power and all the authority and all this. Well, that is partially true, but it's not totally true. Understand now, Jesus is someone who is God's Son. So when He comes on the earth, He has all of God's authority or all of God's wisdom or all of God's power. He is what we call second man Adam. And second man Adam has all the benefits of first man Adam. Now understand, We like to think that, well, Adam was just this dumb guy walking around taking care of the woods and growing stuff and running around naked with his wife, and they didn't know they were naked. I mean, it was just a weird, weird living place, but that's the way it was. But can I tell you what Adam really was? He was the first man. And the Bible says that in the cool of the day, God would come down each and every afternoon. And they would, can you imagine having conversations with God? Can you imagine what life would be like each and every afternoon if God came down and He just walked with you in the cool of the day and you just talked about stuff and there was no hindrance and there was no doubting? And when God said, I did it this way, Adam, and Adam said, oh, that's neat. And he doesn't say, well, I don't understand that. I don't see how you could have. No, he just says, that's neat. In fact, Adam takes it into such degree that God looks over at Adam and He says, Adam, you just name all the animals. And Adam doesn't say, I can't do that. I'm not good at that, God. Adam just says, that's a giraffe. And that's an elephant. And that, man, I like this. I like this God thing. I'm kind of like God on this earth. In fact, I have dominion on this earth. And I have the ability to see over stuff and be. And it was an incredible life to Adam live. There were no hindrances. There were no limitations. There was nothing stopping him. He did not get older. He did not think of death. None of those things were hindrances in his life. But because of sin, he lost his place. And God, through His wisdom, brought second man, Adam, into the world. The second man, Adam, is a new bloodline. He is God's wisdom. He has been with God from the very beginning. In fact, John, the first chapter, would make it very clear that nothing was made without Him, and without Him was not anything made. He was there from the beginning. He was there when they formed the first man. He was there through all of this. He has been with him from the time of creation. It is what it is. And now, all of a sudden, he has put on this earth all of the wisdom of God. We see this at the age of 12. But something still has to be different about this man than there was the first Adam. Notice the devil doesn't come to him tempting him when he's 12. The battle of who he is and what he's to be doesn't happen when he's 20. Doesn't happen when he's 23 or 24. Doesn't happen when he turned 18 and he was legally able to drink. No, his battle happened at the very moment that God designed and said, now, I'm fixing to put you on the stage and I'm fixing to put you into a place to where something is fixing to happen. Second man Adam is fixing to do what first man Adam could not do. Now, understand this, for God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was not just in the cool of the day. This is the very first time we ever see that man is walking with God on a continual basis. This is not Samson like I taught you last week, to where from time to time the Spirit would come on him and all of a sudden he'd say, "Woo, man, I can do some stuff." Now this guy, every step of his life, every moment was walking in the same power of Samson, walking with the same ability of Gideon, walking with all of the power that you read about in the Old Testament, walking with the wisdom of Solomon, walking with everything, every step of his life, every move that he made, every moment that he took. He was not alone, not one moment in that step, going about doing good, oppressing those and touching those that were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him. Verse 39. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Now, let's get this understanding. The work of the Holy Spirit inside of Christ's life is not a small work. In fact, without the Holy Spirit, Jesus does not even come on the scene. How did the world get here? Well, we find out in Genesis that the Bible says that God looked down over this vast nothing, this void place, and He said, "Let there be light." And when God began to speak, all of a sudden, the Bible says in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, He said, the Spirit began to move. There's something that has to happen. God does the talking, but the Spirit is the executive force of whatever He says. In other words, if God says, you know what, I want you healed, He's going to speak healing in your life. But the Holy Spirit is going to come in and cleanse your body of every piece of cancer, of everything that doesn't belong. His job is to execute what the Word of God has already said. So we understand that even from the beginning, in Genesis, this world was formed as the Spirit moved and did. People talk about the Big Bang Theory. I don't doubt the Big Bang Theory. I'm just telling you the Big Bang was when God spoke and the Spirit decided to move. Something went bang. Something went bang. And it was the Spirit, the Bible said, moving over the voidness of this earth. It was without form and void, and the Spirit began to move over it. That was the bang. That was what caused the elements and the molecules and what caused the atoms to begin to move the way they were supposed to move. And the Spirit hovering over said, what do you want me to do? I want you to create light. Then light it is. If you want light, I'll give you light. I want you to separate the water from the land. Then I'll take my power and I'll pull the dirt up out of the bottom and I'll create dry ground. What do you want me to do? I want you to form animals and I want you to create life. I want you to do trees and I want you to do this. And when he began to speak, the Spirit began to move and things that could not be all of a sudden became reality. This is the world of the spirit world that we live in. But I don't want to go too far there. Let's get back to Jesus. Jesus could not get here into this world except through the Spirit. Go with me to Matthew, the first chapter and the 20th verse. Matthew 1 and 20. Listen, Joseph is having problems trying to figure out how Mary got pregnant. She says she hadn't been with anybody. And in a dream, the Holy Spirit or an angel comes and talks to him. And notice what the angel says. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary for thy wife, for that which is conceived in her. Did I not tell you that from the very beginning of Genesis, when anything is going to happen, there's a bang? It's when the Holy Spirit moves in your life. And it happens the same way with Mary. Bible would say the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. Joseph is told, listen, it's the Holy Spirit that came upon her, and when the Holy Spirit moved on her, he can do whatever he wants to do. If God said, I want her to do this, that's what she would have done. But God spoke and said, I want her to be impregnated with my very son. And you know what? The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And this virgin that had never known a man, never been with anybody, all of a sudden has within her a new seed that the world has never seen. She has within her a new bloodline that the world has never experienced. And this is how it takes place from the very beginning. Jesus doesn't get here without the work of the Holy Spirit. Look at the person beside you and say, I didn't know that. Never thought about it that way. We don't. We just think it just happened. God speaks it. But can I tell you something? Without the Holy Spirit, there is no power or ability to get it done. Do you understand why the enemy, the devil, fights against you so much on the power of the Holy Spirit? That's why he says, I don't mind you getting saved, and I don't mind you sitting there fighting me for the rest of your life. But don't drag the Holy Spirit into this fight, because whatever he speaks and whatever is said, all of a sudden he has the power to do. Let me explain it this way. You're sitting there battling with whatever addiction, whatever problem in your life. And then all of a sudden, God, you read in the Word, and the Word says, you know what? It says right here that he who I have set free is free indeed. So that means, you know what? I'm free from all of this. He said, I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. In fact, I don't have to eat this way anymore. I don't have to drink that anymore. I don't have to dip that anymore. I don't have to snort that. I don't have to suck that in my lungs. I don't have to do any of it. Why? Because the Word has already said it. The Word has already spoken. So now what happens? I begin to speak the Word into my life, and the Spirit says, whoa, let me get a hold of that. I like that. I like that Word you're speaking, because I can work with that Word. If I had time, I would carry you to where Paul would describe it this way. We are to put on the whole armor of God, not just a helmet of faith, and not just a shield of faith, and not just a breastplate of righteousness, not just a helmet of salvation, but we are to carry the sword the sword of what? It is the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? The Word. To the Spirit, this is a weapon. Just as quickly as I speak the world into existence, I can speak cancer out of my body. I can speak healing. I can speak out of depression. I can do whatever I need, because all I need is the sword of the Spirit. It is what the Spirit picks up to do battle every single time within us. It is His sword. It is His ability. It isn't that the Spirit can do. The Spirit stands there untouchable. The Spirit stands there unmovable. The Spirit stands there part of the triune God. And He says, I don't need anything. I'm not lacking anything. But then all of a sudden somebody picks up the sword. And all of a sudden the sword says, you know what? I need deliverance. That's what I need today. I need deliverance. And I need God to deliver me. All of a sudden something happens. The Spirit gets a hold of that sword. And He gets to cutting. And He gets to doing. And He gets to fighting. For I fight not with my own flesh or other fleshly being, but I fight with principalities and powers of the air. I fight against spirits in high places. But the Spirit that lives within me is greater than any spirit this world possesses. There's no spirit of depression that's greater than my spirit. There's no spirit of anger that's greater than my spirit. There's no spirit of addiction that overrides my spirit. Because if I can align myself with His Spirit, I know that I am more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. I wish somebody understood what I was talking about. I wish somebody understood these words that I'm speaking to you. But the enemy, that's why he fights you so hard. Don't get in that tongue talking thing. Don't get in that baptism thing. Don't get in. No, you don't want none of that spirit thing. You just stay saved and sit on the back row and just me and you have our conversations during the week. Because he knows if you bring the Spirit into the battle, just as God knew if he anoints Christ with the Holy Spirit, that's a no-lose situation for God. He is baptized, conceived in the Spirit. Now go with me to John, the first chapter. I got to walk through. I can't get stuck. I don't get that much time. Let's go to John, the first chapter, verse 30. And let's read. John is looking down, and the Holy Spirit has already anointed John to do what he's doing. He doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but he's anointed by the Holy Ghost in a way to simply be able to do the job, just like a prophet of old, just like someone he has been called to a place. But all of a sudden, he is told by the Holy Spirit and told by God that when you see the one that I don't leave, then you'll know the one who's supposed to be the Messiah. Listen to what it says. This is he whom I said, after he cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from where? Like a dove, and it abode, or it stayed on him. It didn't just come up and go down. It didn't just touch him for a moment. Woo, I feel good. And then I go out. No, it abided with him. It stayed on him. Verse, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and do what? And remaining on him. This one, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. This is going to be the one that is going to be the Holy Ghost baptizer in the future. Oh, I love Scripture. Scripture will cure any problem you have of this bad theology. It'll cure any bad theology anybody has. I love that. We don't have to, I don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. Let's just go to the Bible. Let's just see what it says. What you believe is what got you messed up all these years. Let's just go to the Bible and I mean, don't care what I think. I don't want you to leave. Well, Pastor Lott thinks this. No, I just read it. That's the way it comes off the screen. It's the same way in your Bible. Either you're going to start tearing pages out and say, I don't believe that. Or you're just going to have the Bible and say, it's in there, so I got to deal with it. And John said, look, I need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, no, it's not time for that. But John said, I know you are the man. You are the Holy Ghost baptizer. The Holy Ghost told me that he who the Spirit ascends on and doesn't leave, that's the man. John said, there he is. That's the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. There's the man. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is active in his life every step of the way. It's not just about him coming and dying. It's about him presenting to us a way of life that will be normal to us after he's gone. Not like a prophet. Not like David. Not like Solomon. But this Spirit will abide. Will set up shop inside of you. He will become your teacher and your guide. He will become your best friend. He will become your leader. He will become all that you will let him be. Go with me now to Luke, the 4th chapter. We find that immediately after this, Jesus takes on a new role. And Jesus means full of the Holy Ghost. Because what's happened? The Holy Spirit has done what? It's ascended, but what has it not done? Didn't leave him. This is the first man this has not happened to. And you would think, okay, buddy, he's fixing to get busy. No. He needs to know, can this power withstand anything the enemy can bring against it? Is this sword sharp enough and mighty enough to take on the greatest enemy you'll ever face? I'm not talking about some little demon. I'm not talking about some little imp. I'm not talking about some little spirit. I'm talking about Satan himself, the father of lies. I'm talking about the man, the boss. I'm talking about, can he take down the leader? The Bible says he's led of the Spirit into the wilderness to make this fight a fair fight. For 40 days he does not eat. He gets as humanly weak as you possibly can. I don't even feel like fighting anymore. I don't have no energy in me anymore. He slept among the animals and the wild beasts. He stayed up on that mountain and stayed up on that mountain until all those days. And at the end of those days, guess who shows up? The boss himself. And Satan comes walking down and Satan begins the process. If you are the Son of God. Anybody ever... anything ever come upon you and say, well, if you really are saved. You ever felt that way? Don't even know if you're saved or not. You ain't been living a good Christian life if that ain't come a question in your mind. It means you just still ain't even got to that fight yet. But when you get to be a good Christian, you're going to have days you're going to be, I don't know if I'm saved anymore. I'm just having bad. It just seems like it's just going. And Satan comes along and hits him with the same question. Because he knows how Jesus is feeling. He's weak and he's tired and he looks at him. He said, if you really are the Son of God, I mean, not saying you are, but if by chance you are, then let's do something to show. Here's a rock. Why don't you turn it into bread? I mean, if you really are, I mean, that wouldn't be anything for a Son of God. It'd be like looking at him and saying, look, if you really are, then why don't you just eat this fruit? Because you know what? God's holding out on you and you need to take care of yourself, Adam. But this Adam's different. This Adam's full of the Holy Ghost. And this Adam squares his shoulders and he says, let me get this sword out. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. How does that feel? Oh, that feels like the sword of the Spirit. That feels like the Spirit rose up in him and said something that hurt me. Satan tries two more times. Tries to get him to jump off a cliff and tempt suicide. And if God really loves you, he won't let you die. He tries to offer him everything. Look, you ought to take this because if you don't take it now, you're not going to get it. I can offer you a whole bunch of good stuff and you need to take it. And every time he pulls that sword of the Spirit and the Spirit of God that's inside of him rises up and said, if you'll speak it, I'll handle it. If you'll speak it, I'll handle it. In fact, the last time he looks at Satan square in the eyes, he says, get behind me, Satan, for it is written. Do you understand the power of the Spirit? The Bible says that Satan left him for a season. He didn't want no more of that. We got to find a different way, because I cannot, even at his weakest point, even when he hadn't had... You ever had weak days? I tell you, I just don't know if I can take anymore. Oh, yes, you can. I just don't know if I can put up with anymore. Oh, yes, you can. I just don't know if I... No, no. The Bible says, let the weak say that I'm strong. You got to get weak before you actually get strong. You got to get down to where you can't do it yourself. You got to get so weak you don't have an idea how to fix it. You got to get so weak there ain't nothing but tears running out. And you're saying, God's help me. Somehow help me. Somehow do something. And at that moment you can rise up and say, I may not be strong in myself, but there's a Spirit that lives within me that's mightier and stronger than anything you've got. His anointing is through that. He's led through his life by the Spirit. Now, it didn't just come on him, and it just wasn't just a normal anointing. Go with me to John 1 and 32. I got to teach this today, because if I don't teach this, you won't be ready for what God wants for you. Look at the person beside you and say, this is good. John 1, verse 32 says it this way, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him, verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize the water, the same said unto him, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining, on him shall same be which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Go to chapter 3 and verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the what? And God giveth not the Spirit by what? For the first time, he is full of the Spirit. What does Paul later tell us? He says, be no more filled with wine or any kind of junk, but be filled. I mean, if there's one hair on top of your head that's not Holy Ghost filled, pluck it out. Just pull it out and say, you don't belong in this head. I mean full. So if you try to put a drop of anything else in it, it just runs off the top because it won't nothing else fit in there. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be tickling with it. Don't be playing with it on Sundays. But be filled Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And if the devil met you on Friday, you say, I'm glad you met me today because I am full of the Spirit. I'm glad you met me on Saturday morning. I'm glad you met me today because I'm going to live my life full of the Spirit of God. For the first time, there's a man on the scene that this Spirit is not given by measure. Full. Look at the person beside you and say, are you full? I'm not talking about, do you got saved and you know the Spirit tugs at you, makes you feel bad when you do bad. I'm talking about, are you full to where you can't do wrong? The Spirit won't let you. You start to do wrong and your guilt and the conscience and everything drive you crazy. I'm talking about, you can't live without God. I'm talking about, you can't do it. These people run around, well, I got caught in this. That's because you're not full. If you're full, you can't be happy doing wrong. You can't be satisfied doing wrong. Somebody will look at you on Monday and they'll say, what have you been doing? I can look at you and tell something ain't right. Because when you're full of the Holy Ghost, it won't nothing else matter. But you try to put some other contaminant in there, and all of a sudden you'll be like, yeah, I don't know. You're not full. What are you playing with? What are you tampering? What are you talking about? What are you thinking about? You're disturbing and bothering the Spirit that's inside of you. He wants to have full reign. He wants to run wild. He wants to do what He's supposed to do. And you're putting all that negativity and all that junk and all that stuff in there. And the Bible says we grieve the Spirit that lives within us. It doesn't end there. Jesus has a job to do. He has to finish his life. He's got to die. Go with me to Hebrews 9 and 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the what? How in the world am I going to serve God? Not because I want to, not because I'd like to, not because I'm going to try harder. Notice what it says. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the through the Holy Spirit, was able to muster up enough. Because when people see him in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's crying and he's praying and he's turning into blood mixed with sweat, and you're thinking, man, he's all by himself. Oh, no, he's not. He's not by himself. Even at the lowest point in his life, he still has the Spirit of God that is right there. The Spirit has not, will not leave him. The Spirit empowers him and encourages him. I want to tell you, at your lowest point, if you'll listen closely, there'll still be the Spirit of God. Even if you can't reach God and it don't feel like things are going right, the Spirit will still be there saying, you can do this. You will make it through. You don't have to quit. You're not a loser. Just hang in there. Just keep going. And the Spirit brought Jesus through the lowest points of his life. When the doctor says you're dying of cancer, the Spirit says, I didn't say you were dying of cancer. When everybody runs along and says, we're going to take what you got, and you got family that says, we're not going to talk to you no more, and everybody else is turning against you, you got somebody that's saying, I'm not going to leave you. I am your comforter. I am your guide. I am your friend. I am the representative of Christ in your life. Don't push me away. You may lose everything else, but I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you to the end of your life. I'll carry you from this point, and when you breathe your last, I'll carry you and usher you into the next place. Don't worry about everything else. You've got somebody on your side. Somebody needs to get that in their mind. You worry about what Aunt so-and-so's going to say, or your cousin, or your friend, or your mama. You need to realize there isn't but one who is your eternal friend, your eternal partner, the one who's going to walk with you all the way through. And if you will tune in and listen to Him, just like Christ, He's not going to fail you. Go with me in your Bibles to Romans. You don't have to, but we'll go Romans 1 and verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. And how did He do this? How did He declare Jesus to be the Son of God, meaning the Holy Spirit? He did it through His life, but then even when Jesus was dead and in the grave, people said, well, Jesus just woke up. No, He didn't. You don't know Scripture. Jesus didn't just on the third day decide to come back. What does the Bible say? By the resurrection from the dead is how the Holy Spirit, for the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, decided at that moment He was partnering with Christ. Didn't I tell you He doesn't leave Him? He doesn't forsake Him. Even when Jesus goes to the grave, He's still full of the Holy Ghost. That's why He can go down to hell and cause havoc in hell. That's why He can go down there and take the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He's still full of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the worst thing the devil could ever imagine was that the Holy Ghost, full of Christ, would walk into hell and say, knock, knock, I'm here. You need to open up. All of a sudden, the power of God had come into the hell itself and said, I'm here. I've arrived. I found my way down here. I found a vessel to get me into this place. That's why later it will say that the same resurrection that we have, we will be raised by the same Spirit that raised Christ. I may miss out on a lot of things, but I'm going to make sure I got the Spirit. The Bible says Spirit's the only thing getting me up out of that dirt. It ain't going to be good works. It ain't going to be what they write on my casket. There better be a Spirit that knows me by name, and knows where they planted me. And at that time, the Bible says the Spirit Himself will raise me up just like He did Christ. He will pull me up out of there. I don't care how dirty I am or how decayed I am. At that moment, the same Spirit that can put a baby inside a virgin woman, the same Spirit that can move over nothing and create a world, the same Spirit that could do all that He did, could cause Jesus to walk on water and water would hold Him up, the same Spirit that allowed Him to lay hands on the sick, the same Spirit that raised dead people when Jesus prayed for them, that same Spirit is going to quicken my mortal body at the moment of resurrection. And that Spirit's going to say, Tim, get up, son. And I know that voice. And when I hear that voice, wherever I'm at and how deep they bury me, all of a sudden I'm coming out with a new body, recreated in the way the Spirit has designed. He isn't through. He doesn't end there. Go with me to John 16. And I'll wrap this thing up. I'm about out of time. This is good stuff. I wish I could do a study with you and we could just sit down and talk about this. Man, we could have some fun on this bad boy. People ask me why I'm Pentecostal. I'm telling you right now, I can explain why I'm Pentecostal. It ain't no shameful thing to me. I can tell you why. I wouldn't live without Him. I can make you feel bad you live without Him. I can tell you why you can't live good without Him. John 16, verse 14. He, meaning the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Who owns it all? Jesus. The Bible says all power, all authority has been given to Him. Well, then how do I get it into my life? In but one avenue, in but one way. Notice what it says. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine, and He will give it to... Oh. We will read in Scripture later that Paul says we build ourselves up by praying in the Spirit. Because what happens when I'm praying in the Spirit? Everything God wants to get into me is being grabbed by the Holy Spirit and shoved. Him. Let me take it. Let me give it to you. That's what Jesus promised. He said, when time comes and when I'm gone, don't worry. He will glorify me. And He will take what's mine. The only one that has a straight connection from heaven to here. He will take of what is mine, what I already have spoken, what I've already said, and He will give it to... That's why there's a lot of good people that pray a lot of good prayers that get nowhere. Because they won't allow the Spirit to do His natural work, which is to put... I've had friends of mine who are Baptist ministers get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Can't tell nobody. Lord, they'd get fired from their job if they knew that. Did you see a Baptist minister, some ministers that are certain denominations stand up in their pulpit and say, guys, I was praying real hard the other last week. And in my prayer room, all of a sudden, something happened to me. I can't explain it, but something started. It's simple what happened. There's only one avenue by which God can operate. And you start tapping into God. And you start tapping into His Word. There's only one way He can get it to you. His Spirit. His Spirit. And that's not a denominational thing. That's a biblical thing. I'm not denominational in any way. It wouldn't matter who my licenses are from. I just got to marry people sometimes. And other than that, that's really all I got to have it for. When I sign those contracts, the government wants to know that, it's legal and binding. So it really wouldn't matter to me. It's not going to change what the Word of God says. It all has to operate the same way. So somebody says, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Church of God, I'm Assembly of God, I'm this, I'm Project of God of Prophecy, I'm all this, I'm Catholic. I don't give a hoot. I'm biblical. That's my only testimony. I'm biblical. If somebody ever asks, well, what is Pastor Law? He's biblical. That sucker takes it from cover to cover. He'll preach Genesis all the way to Revelations, won't leave nothing out. Don't believe nothing died in the process. Don't believe it was for Paul and not for you. He believes if it's in there, it's meant to be in there. If it's in there, it's holy from cover to cover. I even believe the binders and the stitches they put it together with became holy. The moment they called it a holy Bible, the whole thing became holy. None of it's lacking, none of it's missing, and none of it needs to be changed. You don't need to mark through some of it or not preach any of it. Every bit of it is still functioning. He said, when this time comes, in time to come, He will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and He will give it to you. Go to the next verse. all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, that he shall take of mine and shall... Now, here's the problem with us. Jesus didn't have this problem. Jesus could walk up to a funeral, dead person being carried along, and the Spirit could speak to him, and God the Father speaking to him, and would say, Jesus, I want you to raise that dead person. In fact, later they would ask Jesus, how do you do the... I do what I see the Father do. That's what I do. Why? Because he understood that all things are of the Father. And what the Father was doing was showing it unto him. And it was for him to take dominion on this earth and to show it and to take process and to take dominion and to say, I'm going to make it happen in this world. It got awful quiet. That means if I'm fixing to go, this last week, just one of the ladies said, who did have to go for some tests, cancer tests. Well, I could sit there and I could say, Lord, I sure hope you help her. She's a sweet lady. But that's not the position I've been called to take. I am to see. See, something happened when she came walking by me. I didn't ask her to come by me. I didn't say. She come walking up to me. And when she walked up to me, she said, I want you to pray. And something hit me. And when it hit me, I had a choice. He had showed me what he wanted me to do. He didn't want me to play with it. He wanted me to speak to it. And when he said, speak to it, she was ready for prayer. I was ready to pray. That makes prayer so much easier when God's already spoke to you. And I prayed. And sometimes I may say this, sometimes not. But it all depends on whether God speaks it to me. And I looked at her and I said, everything's going to be all right. Don't worry. Now, if I don't tell you that, it don't mean it's not going to be. It may be somebody else that's supposed to tell you that. It may just be the fact that that's not your business. You're not the one. You're not the key to this one. Because you say, oh, that happens every time. No, I can only do what I see the Father do. I can only do what I see the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you where the church gets in problems today. We've become a name it, claim it, trying to drag God into every situation we have. And we do not have enough sense or enough spiritual ability to wait and see if God says you're going to heal or not. Jesus couldn't heal everybody. He can only heal the ones God told him to heal. He can only lay hands on the ones that were ready to be healed. We start lining people up and we don't understand. Why did this one get healed? And I prayed for the next one the same way. I tell you why. Because God didn't tell you to lay hands on that one. He told you to lay hands on this one. You have messed the other one up now. Because now you prayed for them, they didn't get healed, so now they doubt God. I'll give it to you plainly. And I got to come to a close, I know. I'll give it to you very simply. Last night, my aunt Marie, dearest lady I know, remember PAL, the one I said had done, I've been assistant pastor for, he passed away. Several years ago, I preached his funeral. My Aunt Marie is probably one of the sweetest ladies you'll ever meet in your life. I don't know of anybody that has a better heart than my Aunt Marie. None. I don't care if it's preacher or not. There's no lady or man I've ever met with a better heart than her. Period. I like y'all, but you don't have her heart. I like me, but I don't have her heart. She was diagnosed before she got here with lymphoma, cancer, all over. You could tell when she walked in the room the other night, she's lost a lot of weight. She's going down. Now, what we want to do is we want to see God heal. So we're going to manipulate the situation. Let's just call a bunch of people together. Let's just get them praying. And God's got to do it. You do that if you don't have the Spirit. Of course, one of the ones they called was me. Tim, you get up there too. One thing about me, I don't do good when people demand. Because I can't do it. I don't have any gifts. There is no lightning shooting out the ends of my fingers. I only have the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit says, I ain't touching that, then you know what I have to do? I ain't touching that. And I feel like everybody, I want her healed. I want her touched. I want all that to take place. And I walked up and the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. And this is what the Holy Spirit says to me. I tell it to one of my cousins later. We're sitting at a table. And she looks at me and she said, what did God say to you? And I looked at her and I said, God told me this. He told me for her to go out well. She has a lot of family who still do not know Him and do not trust Him. And if she is not careful, they're going to look at her passing as God not loving her. But all of us have to die of something. She's 91 years old. If I pray she's healed, what about 92? What about 93? Sooner or later, something's got to get her. That's not her problem. Her problem is that she's got to square her shoulders and she's got to go out like a champion. And she's got, whether it's this or the next thing, she may be healed. There may be an evangelist come through and God heal her. But whether He does or doesn't, her time is drawing near to the point to where it is time for her to square her shoulders and to realize, I am going to show my family how a champion goes out to meet the great eternal God. Now, is that what I want to hear? But He will take what I have and He will show it to you. And when He shows it to you, you have to do it. If God has showed you your kids aren't supposed to be on drugs, then you start speaking for them to get home and get off drugs. I have a feeling that God won't speak that they're supposed to be on them. If God has not spoken to you about certain things, but if He has spoken, then you got to hold to those things and fight for those things, because Jesus had to hear and be sown by the Spirit what things are to be, and His job was to demonstrate it on this natural earth. Your job is to demonstrate what the Spirit shows you. You may be standing at work and all of a sudden the Spirit lays on your heart some person that works on the other end of the line. And you got to go down there and just say, you know what, I don't know what's going on in your life, but the Spirit was just dealing with me. And if you ever need prayer or somebody to talk to, I just want you to know God is got you on my heart. And it may not mean anything to you, and it may mean everything, but I just want you to know God's got you on my heart. And if you ever need anything, I'm here. And if it's God, you watch that person start crying and saying, I was just thinking I needed somebody. I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit's miles ahead of you. He's miles. All you got to learn to do is do what He said. That person that was crippled before Jesus got there was supposed to be healed. Their heart was, if God, you ever send somebody to heal me, I'll accept it. If you'll ever send somebody to do it. Barnabas was standing there with blind Bartimaeus was sitting there. You don't know what he was thinking. If that somebody ever comes by, if I can ever get a chance to be healed, I will get healed. That's why that had happened, because somebody had already heard from the Spirit and the Spirit was operating on all those areas. And when it came time to be healed, bam! It takes place. Now, go with me to John 5, 6 through 8. John 5, 6 through 8, and I'm through. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. Now, I'll just go ahead and sum that up. Basically, Jesus came first to purify us by the water, which is the washing away, which is the cleansing of our guilt, our shame, our hurts, all of our dysfunctionalness. The second is the blood. We know what that represents, that He had to wash away our sins, because the law, even though He came along and said, I forgive you and I love you, the law would not forgive. So He had to die to satisfy the law. Does that make sense? Jesus came first with compassion and says, I love you. He rubbed water and water and water. That's what He did all His life, was rub water and washing people and saying, oh, I love you and I forgive you. But it was not until His death that He could pay the price for the law. Notice what it says, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the... And these three are one. Yeah, don't miss that. They're not one. They agree in one. I believe that Jesus loves me. That's water. I believe Jesus paid the price for me. That's blood. Then the Spirit comes along and says, I agree that those things which He has ordained for you, nothing can stop you from having. That's Spirit. Those three agree on earth. And we sit here this morning and we wonder so many times, well, Jesus didn't have what we had. He walked just like you're called to walk. Full of the Spirit, anointed by the Spirit. He couldn't understand your life if He wasn't a fleshly person, anointed and filled with the Spirit of God. The only difference in Him is that flowing through His vein was a pure bloodline. But all the temptations, all the trials, all the fleshly stuff was all the same. That's why inside of Him was all God, but outside of Him was all man. But God proved once and for all that all man full of the Holy Spirit is more than the devil can handle on his best day. I needed you to see that today. Because next week, I'm going to talk about your part of receiving the Holy Spirit. And I needed you to understand that I'm not preaching some ludicrous theology. I don't have to stand up here and jump, hoop, and holler and use two scriptures. I can go from Genesis all the way to Revelations and anywhere in between, and I can show you scripturally you must be filled with the Spirit. If you are ever going to overcome or accomplish or be what God has called you to be, you've got to get off the sidelines of this simply sitting and spectating, and you've got to say, you know what? I want what Pastor's got. I don't want just Pastor laying his hand on me. I want to be able to lay hands on myself. I want to be in that middle of the room, and if things ain't going right, I say, look, self, you just want to get straight, because God, we're not living this away. I'm tired of watching a church. And not my church, I'm just talking about the church in general. Tired of watching a church that has a form of godliness. And they call that form of godliness that we wear dresses and we don't do this and we don't do that's not godliness. I'm tired of seeing a church that has a form of godliness but has no power. And the world is tired of watching people get on there and tell them they're living wrong and doing wrong but have no power. I've come by to tell you that I want to be a church that not only speaks it, but walks it. It doesn't just walk it, but lives it. Not because we are great people, but because the Spirit that lives within us is mightier than the spirit of this whole world. And if you believe that, that's the message of Christ. This week, I want you to get a hunger for what God has a hunger for you. I want you to have a hunger for what God has said is yours. A hunger for what the devil says, don't go there. That's weird stuff. Just square your shoulders and say, I don't care how weird it is. I'm just sick and tired of having conversations with you. If it'll get you off my back and off my case, look, I'll do flip-flops if they want me to. I don't give a hoot. I'm telling you, I want to be free. You've got to have that mindset if you're going to serve God, because God may ask you to do some really weird things. You may have to walk up to somebody at a gas station, don't know them, and they're pumping gas two lanes over, and you may have to walk up to them and say, God just wanted me to let you know your brother's going to be okay. And you don't know if they got a brother. But the Spirit speaking to you, and all of a sudden to have them look at you and say, who are you? Well, I'm just a child of God. How do you know I got a brother? I don't, but the Spirit does. He told me to tell you that. That may not mean nothing to you. But if it does, that's from God. And to watch that demeanor of their face change, like, how did you know that about me? I didn't, but God did. And God just had to give it to me and put it in me. It may just be a child of yours. Parents, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you can tell through the Spirit when your child is doing good and when they're not doing good. You'll be a better parent through the Spirit. whatever it is in your life, it will improve because you were designed to be full, I mean running over, of the Spirit. That's what you were called for. That's what you were designed for. Gold inside of nothing but a bottle. But the choice is yours. You can go to heaven, be saved, without being full of the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. But I'm going to tell you something, you're going to have the hardest fight of your life. It's going to be the longest, grudgerous Christian walk. And don't be surprised if a lot of your kids don't want to ever go to church when they grow up. Because if they watch you sitting there struggling and suffering and beating through life and complaining and, oh, it's so hard living a Christian life. And they, I can tell you one thing, if that's your God, I don't want to serve Him. But if you walk around and they all of a sudden say, Mom, I got a cold. Man, that's good because I got a God that heals. Come here, Junior. Let's get kneeling down right here. Let's pray over that cold. And to watch that kid come back up the next morning, you look at him, how you feeling? I feel better. Told you God could do it. Now that's a life. That's worth living. I hope this morning I have established the foundation for your life. I hope this morning I have put something in you that you realize I got to have more of Him. Because that's what makes us strong. Will you stand?